freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
It is Thursday, January the 21st, 2016, and my name is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to Anti-Media Radio. We have a lot going on, as usual, in the news. Before we get started, I just want to say to you that human beings were not put on this planet to be stepped on. We're not here to bow down to any man, to put our faith in some man. It's not going to fix our problems. I talk about this at great length on this show, and it's just something that frustrates me. We have to take a stand in our own lives. We cannot put our faith in some buffoon, idiot politician. And guess what? Whether it's Republican or Democrat, it's the same thing. The God complex applies to all politicians, same party, different party. They are the same. This is the world we live in, and it's time for us to come to grips and live in reality. I'm not going to live my life with a boot on my neck. You shouldn't live a life with a boot on your neck. Enjoy every day for what it is. Ignore the lies. Know that it's a lie. Know you're being lied to on a daily basis. We have to get over this concept that we have these star-spangled deities, and they're all-knowing, and they can dictate the rules for our life. We cannot allow that. These are all people with human nature, and they're out for themselves, and it's greed, and it's the greed of power more than anything. So please, when you hear all the rhetoric of the politicians with Sarah Palin coming in, I really don't like talking too much about negatively about someone else's show. Something I want to mention real quick, and you know, maybe there's an explanation for it that I don't know about, but Alex Jones has come out and supporting Trump, and he's said all these positive things about Sarah Palin, which, you know, you can look up on YouTube and see these clips of him talking about Sarah Palin in a more realistic context back in 2010, and you don't get put in that position unless somebody has check the box by your name, and you're allowed to be ushered into the room. So, you know, don't trust anyone from any side. That means you shouldn't even trust me or believe me. Go out, learn the stuff for yourself. Know that it's a farce. It's phony. It's theater. Treat it as entertainment, if you will, but do not take it as some saving grace. No man or woman in Hillary's case, is going to save this country or fix this country or fix your life. The only person that can do that is you. That's it. Joining the studio tonight, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Mr. Gibson. How are you this evening?
Can't complain. Sick of being spied on. Sick of being spied on by the government. You know what? It happens every day, and we have to deal with it. Sick of being lied to. Happens every day. You have to deal with it. We can't let it consume us. We can't be wrapped up in it. But we have to acknowledge it.
We did. And that's kind of why we're here tonight, as always. I got some weird stories brewing tonight. There's two stories I really want to talk about that are kind of two opposite ends of the spectrum of the way justice is working against some of these rogue police officers that have taken upon themselves to be judge, jury, and executioner in some very unfortunate cases. One curious case that came out of Oklahoma City was a cop that was sentenced, and this was either today or yesterday, was sentenced to 263 years in prison for sexual assault, rape, and sodomy, and a bunch of other just outrageous charges. Apparently, it was a officer, I think he's of Native American descent. I'm not 100%. His last name is Holtzclaw, Daniel Holtzclaw is his name. And apparently he has a thing for African-American women, particularly African women that he can pretty much just kind of kidnap off the street in uniform on duty and pretty much do whatever he wants to.
That's sick.
Absolutely some of the most, I mean, and again, we're talking about a man that also has pretty much a license to kill anybody and can tell a convenient story and get away with it. Well, apparently justice was actually served. I mean, it's one of those very rare cases. How many cases have we heard of where, you know, sexual assaults have been reported against police officers that were either swept under the rug?
Murders.
Absolute murders have taken place, cover-ups, so on and so forth. And then we have a situation here where justice was actually done. And now, is this a kind of a crack in the wall, the giant blue wall that's held that whole society together? Is the pressure coming down from federal prosecutors, you know, and the Justice Department actually starting to take hold, and maybe we're going to start to see a change? I mean,
it's possible, but you know, I think a lot of it too lies in the people themselves inside that department and in that local community, because, you know, there are police chiefs in this country that do try to do the right thing. I think the biggest problem, as we all know, is the police unions. And, you know, there's some battles they're not willing to fight, I guess, just to make it look as if, okay, we're not monsters here, just trying to get off everybody, which, you know, I think for the most part they are. But, you know, that's where the pressure's coming from. But, you know, you definitely have the police chief in Minnesota that got in trouble by the unions for getting rid of one of his officers for killing somebody. So I don't know the exact circumstances of the Oklahoma City municipality and their police force and jurisdiction and all that. But, you know, you kind of tend to want to say, oh, good, you know, that, you know, justice was served. I mean, the good thing would have been that this never happened and there weren't any victims and this Holtzclaw did what he was supposed to do. Since he didn't, at least it's a step in the right direction, I guess, to say.
Do you think we're going to see more of this, though, that the justice is actually being served in these cases against police officers? Because, and I say that, because I want to juxtapose that with a story that took place here at home, kind of went viral there for a minute. We had in Huntsville, Alabama, Madison County, we had a police, or actually, excuse me, it's in around the Huntsville greater area, the city of Madison.
And this was a story that got worldwide attention.
Absolutely. Madison police officer Eric Parker was called, was actually sent out to a suburb, a wealthy suburb. There was a report of a African-American gentleman. So, you know, police officer hears African-American gentleman lurking around a wealthy neighborhood. Immediately, you kick the blues and you head that direction and get ready for hell. Well, they pull up and they there was a man of color out there, but he actually happened to be a native of India, an Indian national. I can't pronounce his first name. You have to forgive me. I don't have a whole lot of Indian friends, but it's Mr. Patel. We'll just call him Mr. Patel. Mr. Patel, he's an elderly man, was just basically walking around outside getting some fresh air, you know, staying active like seniors should. And police roll up on him. He doesn't know hardly any English at all. Police officer comes up to him and starts barking orders. He doesn't understand. The police officer's trying to, trying to basically kind of corridor him in, and let's talk about why you're out here and you're not a white man, so why is somebody who's not white in this neighborhood? Well, needless to say, he didn't understand a word that the officer was telling him, and he went to walk away because he wasn't doing anything wrong. He had broken no laws, even by admission of the Madison Police Department. Well, needless to say, he walked away. And we have seen so many cases recently of what happens when you go to walk away from a police officer, or go to drive away from a police officer, or go to run away from a police officer. I'm very grateful that he's alive today. But he was taken down in such a violent fashion that he was rendered paralyzed. I mean, he has like permanent medical damage as a result of it. They've already had two trials. Federal prosecutors actually held him on civil rights charges. And both of those trials have ended in mistrial. It's important to note that both of the juries were comprised, I believe the most recent jury was 8 white males and I want to say four African Americans. I'm not 100% on that. I want to say it was an 8-4 ratio, which I don't know what the population is up that way, but that sounds about right. So that's no surprise that ended deadlock. And it's Madison County has kind of been a hotbed for police brutality lately. We reported on a story, if you'll remember, the story of the revenge beatdown that the man who received the settlement for $650,000, and there's a whole other whirlwind of activity going on in that case. That was the case where the local activist who was sticking up for his friend, who was a handyman that worked at his house, was found murdered, and that murder has gone unsolved to this day. So, Madison, Alabama, and again, that's what I'm talking about right there is why we bring stuff like this up. We do not hate cops. I do not hate police officers at all. Police officers do, by and large, when they do their job that taxpayers pay them to do. By and large, the ones that are not on a power trip, the ones that are not trying to make some sort of illegal gains.
Cops are people like anybody else.
Yeah. But again, if you take shortcuts on your job, you're instantly fired and you have a hard time.
If I kill somebody at my job, I'm going to get in trouble and go to jail.
Instead of your employer trying to help you cover the murder up.
That's it.
So you can keep your job.
That's it.
Isn't that weird how that works?
And it's all... The scary part is we allow it because we've convinced ourselves it's for our own protection. Mm-hmm. But as soon as that's somebody that you know, all of a sudden you get a good glimpse of what's actually going on.
So, but politicians who actually are, you know, one higher, step higher or several steps higher in the food chain, well, politicians will pass laws to, you know, ensure that these police officers at least are accounted for, and that there's more, you know, body cameras on, and that citizens can film them legally. No, it's actually quite the opposite. The politicians, and this is a point that I always go back to, is that why are the politicians, and why are certainly the wealthy people that are truly in power here in America, why are they going to poo-poo the police for doing a job that, quite frankly, they pay them to do? Why are you going to train your dog to be a vicious killer attack dog and attack, well, you know, somebody that looks a certain way that comes into your yard? You're going to feed him a steak. Oh, no. Butch is a good dog. He just, you know, that guy, man, he was up to no good. You know he was up to no good. You're a good dog. You wore. He's a steak. Yeah. And that's what we see here. So, you know, kudos to Oklahoma City, though. That's somebody we definitely needed off the streets.
Yeah, absolutely.
And out of a police car, off the streets, holding a gun legally, that can shoot anybody at any point in time and make up a story about it, so it must be true.
That reminds me of another story that's going around, and I'll get to it in just a second, but I want to go ahead and bring on Mr. Kevin Knight. Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Can't complain. And also Miss Claire Burnish. Claire.
Howdy.
Hello, hello. How are y'all doing this evening?
I'm having a good day.
That's good.
Which is good.
I want to hear about your good day. Kevin, we'll get to you in a minute.
I stopped reading the comments on articles. I think that's made all the difference.
See, that's something you should have done a long time ago.
I wish I had never, ever found any comment section anywhere. I remember I had the little thing.
Nobody's going to find the cure for cancer in a comment section.
And Ms. Claire, and also, you know, Mr. Gibson, I don't have things published on the internet and, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands and sometimes millions of people get to read. And I actually had a situation where I just had a simple Facebook post that was reposted. I think somebody on the anti-media crew picked it up and put it on the Facebook page, and it kind of blew up for a minute. And I was kind of feeling pretty proud of myself. And then I went and read the comment sections. Oh my God, I am such a horrible, horrible, evil, nasty, vile person.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, comment section is never, never a pretty place to visit.
Well, it's definitely, I would say, our intellectuals of society where they gather to discuss all their brilliant philosophies.
No, dude, I do plumbing work for a living. I know a septic tank when I see one. That's all I got to say about it.
Speaking of posts going viral, I don't know if y'all have heard about this or seen this yet. I don't know all the details yet. It's a family from Texas, a Miss Lainey Sweet. Her husband was killed in Mesa, Arizona by a cop on Monday night.
I heard about this. This is awful.
Did you see this, Kevin?
Yeah. Actually, I saw the Facebook post, and it's surprising. I've actually seen it shared in a few different places by a few different individuals that I really kind of didn't expect to share it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, the way she writes it, you know, it's not like a news story or anything like that. She's talking about her husband and her kids, you know, lost their father. And there was basically the gist of it was that she put together at the time that there was like a BB gun in the hotel room and somebody was standing at the window with it. And then cops were called, or a pellet gun or something. And
he actually, for his work, for his command, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to go add to what you said. Yeah, it was a pellet gun that he apparently, BB gun that he apparently had for his job. He's a, the guy was, you know, I forget what
the title,
you know, he, yeah, there you go. He's the guy you call when you can't get the critters out of your crawl space. And that's what he had, and he apparently was showing somebody after dinner. He had dinner with two other individuals, and then up at his apartment, up at his hotel room, somebody claimed to have seen him, and that's apparently all it took.
And he was, so the story goes, that he, you know, didn't fight with the cops when they were up there, and that he had put his hands behind his back like they asked, and they still blew him away? Is that how you heard it, Kevin?
I think they actually told him not to put his hands behind his back, and he did put his hands behind his back.
Yeah.
And that's when they actually shot him, and there was confusion. You know, from my understanding, reading the post, apparently that's kind of where the confusion. I remember one of the words was capitalized. I'm trying to find it now, but he was told not to do so, and that when he did, that's apparently.
Yeah, I'm reading it again. And it says Daniel was not aggressive, but when he failed to listen, when instructed not to put his hands behind his back, Judy even put his hands behind his back. The Mesa, Arizona police officer took forceful action and shot him. Daniel passed away in the hallway of his hotel unarmed.
Man. It's absurd because, I mean, you think about he was doing nothing wrong. So if he is in a panic, he's probably terrified with cops pointing a gun at him, and then he goes to put his hands behind his back because that's normally what they ask you to do, and he loses his life for that? I mean, come on.
Oh, there was another part, but this is the part that was so terrible, is they didn't call the wife. She called around to, like, the hospitals and the police department, and she finally called the coroner, and they said, I'm going to read it for you. His two pellet guns were in and next to his case near the window. It had been almost 48 hours, and I have yet to be contacted by anyone about this matter. No notice of death, nothing. I had to do my own investigation after not hearing from him, not showing up to work. That led me to call every hospital, jail, and police station searching for answers. Unfortunately, I did finally found him when calling the local coroner. Nobody had the respect or empathy to call me and our children to tell us that Daniel had been taken from us. Not only that, but one detective assigned to the case has called. Not one detective assigned to the case has called me back after leaving voicemails seeking answers.
And they won't because they're still trying to get the story together.
That's
you know
it.
How that works.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
they won't even address the wife of a man whose life they took.
Well, and it's funny you mention that because when I was researching the story for Mr. Patel. Which I have there's a curious addendum to this that the federal government is actually going for a third swing at a trial for him against him. But in reading that story and reading some of the previous stories of the progression of the whole entire story, very early on, Madison didn't want to release any information about police officers' names, about whether there were body cameras there, whether about the dash cam footage. I mean, nothing. When the story very first broke, until you get people with the Freedom of Information Act, kind of get that rolling, and eventually, grudgingly, you'll get the edited footage, and then you'll finally get the unedited footage a year and a half later, and that's if you get footage at all. I mean, oh, well, he had his body camera off. That's a simple misunderstanding.
What kind of society do we live in where they don't have to even make a case for someone being killed to get the murder off? People had already had it in their head the cop was right.
Well, just like
it's a human being killing another human being, and because of someone's job, people justify it.
Well, it's just like in the case of politicians lobbying for bills that will punish ordinary citizens that are out walking around that happen to see police interaction that decide to film it. Automatically, suddenly, that will become a crime. Now, it will become a crime for the horseshit reason that police give. Well, you know, I'm just trying to create a safe environment for my officers, and we're just trying to protect the public from getting hurt in this interaction. Well, if they're standing, 10 feet away and they're not shouting,
but it's apparently legal to poison an entire community's water supply.
No. You're talking about Cambodia or some far off land like that. That doesn't happen in America, does it?
It couldn't be on the outskirts of Detroit, could it?
Miss Claire, how you doing tonight?
I'm speechless anymore with, between everything about the government and its different arms of terror around the world and in the country itself. I mean, this is just absurd. anymore. It really, really is just like, you know, I don't know, Orwell was saying, you know, like, war is peace and freedom is slavery. I mean, this is absurd. The idea that I'm trying to get over this case we were talking about where, I mean, she wasn't even contacted that they'd killed her husband. I mean, how is that even a thing? How is that even barely acceptable? I don't know.
And the scary part, the really, truly terrifying thing about it is, to me, the populace as a whole, because I could understand a situation where a cop kills somebody because, you know, the law of averages, they're all walking around with guns. But when that happens, the public going, why is this person dead? We need answers. We need justice. But we have a society where the public turns around and goes, the cop must have had a good reason for that.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't have run. Yeah.
That's it. And it's the general populace lying to themselves and somehow trying to seek comfort themselves. Like, we don't live in a society where this could happen. That happens, you know, in other countries, not here in the great United States. I think the same mentality applies to politicians. I don't think a single politician is inherently scared. I mean, David Duke, who was insane, was in the Klan, and he ran for president. And what did that affect? You know, not a whole lot. So it's not the candidate that's dangerous. It's when you have 40% of the population getting behind Donald Trump. That's when it becomes dangerous. It's not the individual. It's the people behind the individual.
Yeah,
that's what we have to change in this country. That's what we have to change, is that mentality, that they just follow along and go along with this.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. Yeah.
And plus, you know, it's different than just cognitive dissonance at this point. I mean, it's not just, well, I can't really take this, it can't possibly be reality. It's like willful denial. It's people willfully excusing things that are completely inexcusable.
That's it. You can show somebody. I mean, we're talking about, like I've said this many times as far as the Mike Brown situation. You know what? It wasn't on tape. I don't trust the cop. I have my own personal beliefs about what happened. But guess what? I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I cannot tell you definitively what happened. It would be completely ignorant and arrogant of me to suggest that I did know what happened. On the flip side, when you have the instances of people on tape and people are like, oh, that's still okay. That's, you know, when you're justifying watching someone shot and killed on tape, you're sick in the head.
The Patel story I was telling you about was all caught on video. And several juries have looked at the video and they see the same thing that everybody else does. Whoa! You know, cop basically just knocks an elderly gentleman on his ass. Just like that. For nothing. Just because the guy kind of just motioned like he was fixing to walk away from him. You don't walk away from me, I'm a cop.
You know, Shannon, to bring up a point about that situation, I think you guys were talking about that when I first called in. And I want to say, you know, I'm not surprised a bit that the jury, reading what that, I guess apparently they were gridlocked, they couldn't come to a decision of whether or not that police officer acted lawfully. I would not be surprised that even the way that, you know, some of these judges, when you get in the courtroom, they're basically throwing out and telling you to throw out whatever you generally or all your perceived biases and rule according to the law, but yet they turn around and define what is lawfully.
There you go. The game is rigged. The game's rigged from the moment go.
Yeah, it really is. And so, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know too much about the feds retrying it, but I did see that. But, you know, I was just as appalled as everybody else was that he actually he escaped what he obviously deserved, especially with the amount of clear footage that we've seen.
Oh, yeah, this was this isn't up for discussion. You see it on tape, you see what happens. How this person is not punished for what they did is mind-blowing.
Well, and it was so blatant, and some of the things that were done after the fact to kind of explained the situation. The officer, even Officer Parker, had even called into the dispatcher at that moment to check and see if there had been any other crimes in the area committed by anybody of color, by anybody that remotely matched.
Oh, yeah. The first instinct is to get that cop off.
This story, I don't know why, the story that we were talking about a moment ago, the one we all saw on Facebook out in Arizona, the first thing I thought about was the story recently of the young man who was walking down the street and police were running up behind him, and when he turns around and reaches for his waistband, which he was reaching for his music player to turn it off, they shot
him. Oh, geez, that's rough.
And
that's
you remember the video as he's standing over and looking for, what were you reaching for? What are you reaching for? He looks at the music player, kind of tosses aside, what was he reaching for? What's he reaching for? And
the
wondering
kid just
aloud
bleeds
on
out
on
the side.
Man, he was reaching for something, man. Y'all guys, he was reaching for something. You know? All the more reason that anybody and everybody, when there is any kind of interaction with police, particularly when they start reaching for a weapon, cell phones need to be out. You need to be recording every single thing that you can. Because, and again, you may record a simple interaction, a normal, you know, okay, put some cuffs on and put him in the car.
And the sad thing is you can film somebody getting clearly murdered, and that doesn't mean that
look at the case in South Carolina. South Carolina, that situation.
That video saved that life.
Way different.
Well, it didn't save anybody's life, but it made sure justice transpired.
Well, you know, when you have a Nobel Peace Prize winning president drone bombing hospitals and children and civilians all around the world, is it really any surprise that this kind of thing goes on in the country and becomes perfectly acceptable?
Oh, because all that's excused. Go ahead, Kevin.
Perfectly acceptable.
No, that's it. Yeah, I agree completely. It's a good point.
Yeah. And we just ignore what we just put it out of our mind. When these deaths and these horrible things occur, we justify all of it. We say, oh, but this happened. Well, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy. I know, you know, they weren't part of 9/11, but he was just a bad guy, and that needed to happen anyway. That's what they say. And look at Iraq now. Chaos. Insanity. What happened in Iraq since all that is now going to be used to justify going into Syria and who knows where else. But whatever, they don't care.
Well, at least Al-Qaeda is not our friend anymore.
As long as the death and destruction is not on their doorstep, they can ignore it.
Mm-hmm. It's just look at anybody who's doing good in that area, and that's probably going to be the next place.
It's a Bruce Willis movie to them. Oh, it's just something on TV. That's not real blood. Those aren't real families being ripped apart. And plus, think about the media doesn't portray war the way they did with Vietnam, especially, and show all that every night, because that's when you really had people marching, because they were seeing it every day. They're showing the clips from Vietnam, and of course there's people protesting nonstop. Nobody sees or hears about half the stuff we do.
Well, of course not, though. They have to clamp down. They have to make sure that the propaganda is appropriate to, you know, further the agenda. Because if everybody was seeing the pictures, if we were seeing what was actually going on, then people really would be upset, and they would not approve of what's going on, and then the agenda wouldn't be able to be furthered because there'd be too much protest for them to continue.
I don't believe that, though, because I think it goes back to what we were saying about getting behind a presidential candidate or automatically believing something about somebody just because of their job and their title. When, I don't know, was it last summer? Anyway, when Israel was attacking Gaza, and the pictures just still burned in my memory how horrible they were of the kids. And people were justifying that because it was Israel, and they were saying, well, they should stop sending rockets over. It's like there's children bleeding out and dying on the street, and people's response are, well, their government should A, stop sending rockets over, which weren't killing people, or B, you'll get the horrific response of they were going to grow up to be terrorists anyway. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I agree. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I agree with what you're saying for sure. I just think that since Vietnam, like actually that far back, I think the propaganda has been in overdrive, which is why so few corporations own the media now, because they are running the narrative. They have set it up this way since Vietnam to make sure that all future conflicts are going to be agreeable to the people, to the herds, to the totally oblivious herds.
No, I do agree with you on that. It's all very, very controlled.
That it's
propaganda.
Packaged and produced and sold exactly.
Well, it's just
like
not mentioned a lot of the time. You know, I mean, they run with, you know, they'll talk
for 20 minutes about the Kardashians.
That's
especially
it.
Especially if, you know, one of them winds up in a brothel, like, strung out or something.
Right.
Like
you know, you get Justin Bieber going through his neighborhood at 120 miles an hour, they'll break in on TV for that. But, you know, us dropping bombs on another country, you don't hear about it.
That was retarded. He only went, like, 20 foot. Anyways. Yeah, I watched it. Don't look at me like that.
So, that's really, to me, what I believe the fight is against. I think so many people feel like the fight is against the politicians and the fight is, you know, against the banks and the corporations. And, of course, that's a huge aspect of it, especially with the banks, I feel. But the real challenge, the real war in our minds anyway, not to be all infowars about it, is with everyday people. Every day you interacting with somebody. Mm-hmm. Because if the population didn't stand for this stuff, it wouldn't be happening. We saw it with Syria war 2 years ago, which was going to be us going into Syria. People didn't stand for it. They backed down. The people have the power. It's getting people to realize, hey, this is going on. Why are you in such denial?
Well, and another part of that, too, is that I think a lot of people just need to shut up and listen. You know, that's one of the major breakdowns in our communication that we have these days. Everybody's so worried about what they've got to say. What about
people already have their minds made up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I absolutely agree. There's no longer any sort of, I don't know, open communication and the ability of people to listen to each other and to be open-minded and to kind of maybe just accept that somebody else might have something, some more knowledge than you have. Or, I mean, people have just lost the ability completely to communicate.
And that is a cultural problem. Donald Trump isn't winning for any other reason than it's the people saying that. That's what I relate to. And it's some guy that doesn't listen to anybody.
Nah, that's disgusting.
That's it. No real substance to anything he's saying. For better or worse, there's really nothing there. He's just throwing out these crazy lines.
He's run this campaign on nothing. On just nothing. Few slogans and catchphrases.
On being a celebrity. On being a celebrity and putting his shoulders back, putting his chin up in the air, and being F you.
You want a wall? I'll build you a wall. I'll build you a wall right now.
That's
in fact,
it.
I'll get the Mexicans to build a wall, and I'll kick them all
and
out.
It's,
right
but
there.
It's the, it's
all
the supporters.
And look, okay,
it's the supporters that are the terrifying ones. But on the other side, it's the same with Bernie. They're just going down what they did with Obama.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we've just done this.
I want a snack machine in the cafeteria, and I want a TV in the hallway.
Yeah, he's the kid running for SGA president in high school. I'm going to get you a Coke machine in the classroom.
Padded benches for the locker room.
Vote for me. That's it.
And you know what? Is it me, or does it seem like the people who are behind their quote-unquote candidates this time are particularly vicious this year?
Oh, yeah, much more so.
I mean, I would say definitely.
You can't have an opinion. It's hard to have an opinion about Bernie and make a vocal comment. And it seems like his detractors, for as many detractors, fellow detractors that he has, at least the ones that are militant Bernie folks, seem to be out in tenfold.
That's why I like to call them the Zombernies, because they're all brainwashed. Like militant
Bernie folks.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to run you over with their Prius.
Yeah. I'm going to write a blog, and I'm going to write something nasty about it.
I'm not going to tip when I get my latte tomorrow.
Yeah.
But.
Show you poor people.
Why are people going along with it? I don't understand how they're going along with it again. And to be so, it's like they're in a cult. And it's like they're so tied up in what he's saying that it's you're attacking them. You're attacking them at their soul for saying something about Bernie Sanders.
You know, here's the thing that really creeps me out about Bernie Sanders, though, is that he is automatically, really, if you think about it, Hillary's on the way out.
You can talk bad about her. Nobody cares.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been talking bad about her since we started the show. But, you know, gosh, I lost my train of thought there for a second. But it's really strange the fact that the Democrats have offered up that Bernie Sanders is our hope, the great white hope, the shining hope. Because really, nobody with any modicum of any intelligence whatsoever can vote for Trump with a clear conscience.
Let it burn. Pull the plug.
Yeah, I mean, you know, socialism versus fascism, you know.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I'll take socialism every time. Sure, why not? Sounds a lot better than fascism, right?
Pull the plug.
So
pull the plug.
I understand the desire to want Bernie to be this ideal candidate. Like, I understand that he has an appealing message for many people. I get that.
Obama did.
Exactly. That's the thing. We've seen what happened already with Obama. This happened before.
George W. Bush.
Completely forgotten.
George W. Bush in 1999 and 2000 ran by saying Bill Clinton was bombing too many countries and we had to stop being the policemen of the world.
We need a new sheriff.
I don't want to hear what Bernie Sanders or any politician has to say.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yet, people still keep lining up to walk off the cliff every 4 years.
Mm-hmm. And they completely ignore, I mean, people will say, well, he never voted for war. He never did this. And then I have bookmarked links to prove that he has, you know, backed war, funding for Iraq and everything else. I have links, and I show these people, these militant Bernie fans, these links to prove to them what he's done, his voting record, and they still deny it.
I mentioned the Gaza thing earlier. He was all about that.
Oh, you can't trust that website. That website's run by those Republicans. You know better than that. Yeah.
Well, that's how they get everybody. You can say anything about anybody, and it turns into, that's a right-wing conspiracy, or that's a left-wing conspiracy. Look at Breitbart and Anthony Weiner. When all that came out, that was just, oh, they're making fun of my name. That's just, they're making fun of my name. It's a right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, what happened? It was all out for everybody to see.
All about Anthony Weiner, yeah.
Yep. So that's how and that goes back to division. They want to keep us divided. I don't know how many times we brought this up, but the world hasn't been healed yet, so I'm going to still keep talking about it. It's the greatest tool they have.
Yeah, they don't really have to wield the tool anymore either. If you've noticed, I mean, it used to be kind of an effort to divide people, and they would have to kind of work that angle into the media and stuff. Now they just kind of drop hints, and everybody else just will take the ball and run with it for dividing. I mean, even the activist community is just so divisive these days. It's absurd.
They've got the ball rolling downhill finally, and now, you know, people take care of it themselves. You're right. They don't even really have to perpetrate it.
Well, you know, y'all are talking about working the tool. I'm sorry, the tool's working herself. Old Sarah Palin. Oh, man, I love that chick. Man, is the Trump-Palin thing going to happen? Is it going down like that?
There's no way. There's no way that's going to happen.
It has to.
There's no way. If that happens,
I bet it does.
There's no way. That is the dumbest political move you can make. Forget what everybody's
are
policies
you crazy?
Are. Forget
We're
everybody's
talking about
policies.
Trump. Trump can do no wrong. I mean,
that
Sarah
is so
Palin is
stupid.
Come on, man. What really, really, what is the vice president of the United States?
He's already got the moron vote. Why does he need her? He needs somebody to reach out to other voters he won't get.
He's leading the Republican poll by 20 points.
And you add Sarah Palin to the mix, and that's going to be
I don't think it adds.
That's going to be a hard 20
just from the,
man.
Just
Come
from
on.
The political aspect, I don't think it gives him any more appeal.
Yeah, but it doesn't hurt.
No, it doesn't hurt. I agree with you.
Any other vice presidential candidate he get will it'll unless it's somebody blockbuster like Ted Nugent, that'd be great. Old Nuge. Yeah.
You know, I personally have to wonder if Donald even really wanted her up there on stage. But I'd actually read two different sources, and I don't recall at the time what they were. But it seemed fairly credible that supposedly she has had it's been mentioned that she might have a place in a Trump administration. So this is the reason that she went ahead and came out.
Oh, I've heard that, and I believe yep. that.
And Stump. You know, she actually mentioned Rand Paul in the middle of that, which I thought was interesting. And she'd mentioned her favorite. For Rand Paul previously, so I was a little bit surprised out of nowhere. I think this is her last chance, probably, to grab a hold of keep any attention she might have once had from some of the people that used to really be big Sarah Palin fans. I think that's it. She's trying to find a reason to stay in the limelight, and this is
the
probably
remnants of the Tea Party.
Yeah, it has to be, because how do you go from Rand Paul, especially today's Rand Paul, who's finally acting like his dad a little bit, to Donald
right.
Trump? Like, how do you make that jump from those two candidates? That's like saying, I'm going to either vote for Ronald Reagan, who's not perfect, or Hitler. That's
right,
the equivalent.
Flipping a coin, right.
Yeah.
They're
that's
flipping
about
a coin,
it,
really.
Yeah.
I mean, in that case, I'm taking Ronald Reagan over Hitler. Although Hugo Boss did make some nice uniforms for them. That's a whole nother conversation.
Hitler did say the things that people wanted to hear. So just throwing that out
I'm
there.
I'm telling you. That's it.
All lives matter.
Build a wall. He's going to
well,
build that wall.
That's a conversation.
Say what, Claire?
This is so uplifting.
But see, that's the world we live in, and that's my job. I'm here to lift everybody's spirits and to get away from all the horrible things in the world. So let's talk about Donald Trump some more.
I don't know. It's kind of like the big asteroid that's fixing to hit the Earth. I mean, what else are you going to talk about? The asteroid's going to hit the Earth. It's coming. I mean, there's no getting around it.
Yeah.
We're going to suddenly start.
I mean, that's really how I feel about it.
You're
going to
start suddenly talking about college basketball at that point? No, there's an asteroid out there.
I mean, we can sit here and talk about how we're not going to vote and we're over it, but guess what? It's still bearing down on us.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah. Wake up.
We're standing on the train tracks, and I can hear the whistle getting closer.
Yeah.
So, you know, the best we can do is.
God, I'm sorry. I'm not with you on this at all. We are totally in total disagreement. Palin Trump is a dream team.
I don't think it benefits
Supernova. Of just oh man.
If Tina Fey was behind it, I get it. I get it for an SNL thing.
I want that to happen so bad, but I have to live in this country if it does.
You know, Jesse Ventura, I think, is talking.
Hey,
about
now, I like Jesse.
Well,
Jesse's the man.
Here's a question, though. If it's not going to be her, then who would it be?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, why go with anybody else at this point? Sarah Palin
is
an obvious choice.
And all the other candidates, all the other runners, I mean, none of them really fit him at all, and they've all been, you know, it doesn't seem like anybody in the party is really interested in any of them. So, you know, she was bad enough before, but she's kind of coming out of the blue right now. She hasn't been in the spotlight in a while. For a lot of people, that means that she might as well have never been in the spotlight. So...
Well, and another thing to consider, too, if Trump was to get any female staff member whatsoever, he's going to have to get one that's not going to bring him down on sexual harassment charges or sexual assault charges. Because that man sexually assaults every woman with his mouth, just with his words. I mean, we witnessed so many sexual assaults by Donald Trump in the interviews of years past. It's not even funny. Sarah Palin, I think she just did roll right off her back. Oh, you're just being funny.
You're again, right. That's you a know. Good point.
He'd slap her on the ass and she'd giggle and, you know, go out of the office. You know, and I think Palin would actually go for it because D.C.'s weed's legal now, right? Yeah.
I just don't get how people are buying this insanity. This same guy was some progressive Democrat for years. He flips his tune overnight, and they're like, we're all going to vote for you now. Mm-hmm. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you name it, any issue, he's been on both sides of it.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's all over, all up in it.
Yeah. And people are just like, but he's rich and successful, and we want to be rich and successful, and we don't want to get bullied, so let's put him in office.
Then you go right down there to the same crossroads in Mississippi that Robert Johnson sold his soul to, because that's about the only way you can do it.
These yeah, days. But they don't think they're selling out. They think they're buying in.
No, what's the difference?
We're all going to hell.
Man, this really has been an uplifting
conversation. It has been. I'm telling you.
My spirits are raised because there is a possibility of Trump Palin 2016. That just makes me all warm and giddy inside.
It's not going to happen.
Man, it's going to be some of the best TV ever for 4 years. Think about it.
I really think it is going to happen, too. But, you know, warm and fuzzy is not what I was thinking.
But kind of warm and fuzzy, because I assume we'll all be drunk for the entire 4 years. So.
They will be. Well, at least Palin will be. I don't know. I think Trump really does need to start drinking a little bit more. He claims not to be a teetotaler, or to be somewhat of a teetotaler, and he really needs to. I think he needs to go the other way with it. He needs to loosen up a little bit.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does he? Do you think he needs looser lips than he already has?
Yeah, we might find out he actually doesn't want a wall and actually loves all people.
It doesn't matter at this point. He would justify it, and his followers would say, well, yeah, whatever his reasoning would be, I'm sure most of them will probably go right along with it.
I told you, that man's saying the things that people want to hear. Yeah.
Before they know it and before they want to hear it, too.
So, as to lift everybody's spirits up, think for yourselves. That's it. Think for yourselves. Don't get in this herd mentality. Don't look at the guy screaming the loudest on TV, because I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing because it's going to be so funny. But if it's Bernie and Trump, it's just going to be two old anger men yelling at each other.
That's why Palin is so important here. Like the third of the Holy Trinity.
I mean, I get it from that aspect of things.
And you know, on the other side of this coin, since we're on the subject, who's Bernie going to tap?
Hillary.
You really think that? You think he would really do that?
Yeah, I do. Especially if it's Palin.
I think he needs
to. She would destroy Palin.
Hillary is going to do really, really poorly with the moderate.
That's going to be her consolation prize.
Of the
her consolation prize, or she'll be vice president.
You know, what it comes down to it, there, one thing that a politician said has been truthful this entire election season and everything else. What difference does it make?
Oh, it doesn't. I mean, it completely doesn't, because we can sit here and truthfully pull a name out of the hat for whichever candidate you want to talk about, and we could be saying the exact same things about them.
Exactly.
Other than really Trump, because he is on his own planet.
Yeah, we haven't brought Chris Christie up at all tonight. That
But you could say the exact same things about all the different candidates.
The end result's going to be the same.
The end result.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. It doesn't matter who it is, because once they get in office, it's all going to be the same stuff anyway.
Because what people don't realize is once they get to this stage and there's just a few candidates and they've whittled it down, there's no difference anymore.
No.
Do people really think we would be living in any sort of a different society if Mitt Romney would have won or if John Kerry would have won? John McCain, I do think things would be much different.
Oh, God, yeah, that guy. Bush 2.0.
Or Al Gore, for that matter.
Yeah.
Right. Does anybody think any of these candidates would have done anything differently? Because look at John Kerry. Oh, peace. Well, what are we doing? Can't be in Iraq. That's horrible. Throw my medals over the wall. Whatever. And then you get him as Secretary of State. The first thing he does is, what are the Syrians doing? Let's go to war right now. Let's do it. Forget everything I've said for the past 30 years. I have some real power now. Let's go bomb some people. So he would have done the same thing if he became president in 2004, and we're going to see the exact same thing out of these idiot politicians now. The thing that terrifies me with them the most are the politicians that say, I'm going to bomb somebody. Because we already know you're going to bomb somebody. When you're bragging about it, it's how many people are you going to bomb and
exactly
who else is getting pulled into it.
Yep.
Because if you're proud of it, that's really scary. At least the goon we have now acts like he doesn't do it.
The only person who's had a actually generally positive response about Russia has been Trump. Trump and Putin are already best of friends.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe this Trump presidency might be a good idea after all. I think y'all talked me into it.
Yeah.
That's him just negotiating. He's just playing the hand that he's dealt with already.
Yeah, and that's probably wise because we're talking about freaking Russia.
I'm telling you, we're so screwed.
Yes.
That's my uplifting comment for the night. We are so screwed.
It's getting harder to get into Canada these days, too. I think we all go to Canada.
Do you blame them?
It's a little chilly out there.
Do you blame them? But again, I don't think the real problem is with Donald Trump specifically. It's the fact there's a large majority of people in this country. It's like, that right there, that's what I like.
Yeah.
That's what I'm into.
Yeah.
That's the most terrifying part of all.
Yeah. My political fetish is fascism. Mm-hmm. That's where we live. Mm-hmm. And yet we convince ourselves, he's an outsider. He's a rebel.
He is corporate America. He is the representative of corporate America. They got tired of paying their own candidates. They finally sent one of their own in to do the job right.
That's it. That's what they've done. They cut out the middleman. Even by Trump's own admission. I've bought politicians for years. You cut deals, make favors, whatever.
Can't nobody buy me because I'm the one doing the buying.
That's it.
Yeah.
And people are okay with that. They're cheering for it. They're proud of it. They go to stadiums. They go to arenas to scream and cheer like he's Ringo Starr in 1964.
Do you think he'll buy a new wife if he gets if he actually gets the nod? You know, he buys a new wife like every like 4 to 6, 4 to 8 years or something like that.
Yeah, I think that'd be it.
He's just selling another flavor of hope is what he's doing. It's just another way of looking at it and the hope for a lot of other people that probably haven't had any.
It's so much angrier, though.
It is, definitely.
Like, it's coming from a place of pure anger. And it's the exact, you're right, it's still emotion-driven because Obama was the I'm going to lift your spirits up candidate and then do what I want. And this is the I'm going to do what I want candidate. And then I'm going to do what I want. And people are just like, yeah, let's give this guy all the power.
On the other hand, we might get Sarah Palin with him too. I mean, God, this is going to be so much fun. We have till November.
They're not going to. There's
going to be a lot of good TV.
She will be in the cabinet if it happens. I do believe that.
I may actually start watching TV again for this.
Well, it's the best theater you're ever going to see in your life.
I mean, I can't think of a single WWE match that's near this good.
I really hope Vince McMahon comes out at the end of this and been like, I just played all of y'all. Well, thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Shannon. That is it for us tonight. We will be back next week for Anti-Media Radio. This is SM Hitson out. Yo, here we go through the stereo.